coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation. It's your host, Doug Hagman.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to this edition of the Hagman Report. It is Wednesday, January 26th. Yeah, just really 5 days to go into February 2022. Wow, it doesn't seem right, does it? Anyway, I say that all the time because I'm amazed at the way time has just gone so quickly. A lot to get into this segment. In case you missed it, last segment or last yesterday's show, prior to Sandeo, Randy Taylor was on and we talked about Ukraine. More to come on that. But in the meantime, I find this very interesting in the discussion about Ukraine. I don't know how many people saw this. I'm not going to play this. But Biden's deputy national security advisor got on television and talking about Ukraine and kind of lectured Americans, saying that we should care about Ukraine. Why? Why? Eric the Tech, why do you... out of all the reasons that we should care about the Ukraine crisis, why do you think Biden's national security advisor said we should care? Why? Why? What do you think the reason was? I don't mean to put you on the spot. You doing okay today? You're mad at me, are you?
Doing good.
He's an angry man today. I'm not sure why. You angry at me?
No.
All right.
I'm not angry.
You're not angry? All right. I'm the one that's angry. Woke up on the wrong side of my chair this morning. It's true. So out of all the reasons, why do you think Biden's national security advisor say that Americans should give a hoot, don't pollute, about Ukraine? What's the one issue? I won't put you on the spot. Because, and I quote, borders should be inviolate. Sovereignty should be respected. Borders. It's the border. You can't violate the border. They must be respected. So I knew this was going to cause a dust up, you know, left and right, that false paradigm. I just thought it was so funny because I go on. I've got, if you'd see my office, you'd understand. What's this? All right. If you see my office, you'd understand. Got a lot of stuff going on in there. Eric the Tech did a wonderful job, too. In addition to being the tech, he also is a remodeler, a designer, a construction worker, an electrician. What else are you? Just an all...
Plumber, HVAC. Just add them all.
Yeah, I'm telling you what.
I've got good job security.
And you know, I'll tell everyone this. You know what's going on here? There's a lot of people courting Eric. Okay, a lot. This is a cutthroat business. There's people that want Eric to work for them. They're trying to hire him out. But see, I got the advantage. He's married to my daughter, so you know, that kind of trumps everything.
There's only so much time in the day. And this takes all of it.
Yeah, but you sit over there playing Wordle.
Wordle?
Yeah, I don't know what that is either. I just saw it. And anyway, I don't know. There's so many ways to waste time, right? It's in the game or something on the computer. I don't know. But I appreciate everything you do. But getting back to the real subjects at hand, because you know what? If we can't kind of laugh once in a while, if we can't make a light of things, I know, you just go nuts, right? So if you're like me, and here's the thing, and there are no pretenses here. I've got no pretenses, all right? I mean, I'm pretty doggone transparent. What you see is what you get. Like it or not, I don't care, all right? I am who I am. I don't like to put on airs, I just don't. So, but I consider... myself, and I know Eric the Tech, we're normal people. When I say normal, I'm talking about average, normal Americans. Now, you may say, well, you may take issue with that whole characterization. And again, I don't care. But when you think of like normal Americans just wanting to live their life and you know, raise their children, grandchildren, in the Americana that we, that once existed. Well, that's who we are. But I'm seeing the pushback on this by saying, well, you know, America didn't respect the borders of Mexico during the war with Mexico, and all of these maps being posted, right? Have you seen all this stuff on the various forums? You know, getting back to my office, computer stuff all over the screens, and it's like, are you guys serious? I mean, really? Look, we understand the evolution of the country. We understand how America was founded and you know, the War of 1812, the Mexican-American War, and all of this, okay? The borders changed, and, you know, we understand the old map of Mexico going all the way up to the middle of Washington, for crying out loud. Anyway, but like science, that's settled, isn't it? Those are settled boundaries, just like settled science, if you want to get into some wordplay there. But anyway, I just found it very interesting how the left is, and the globalists are saying, well, in this case, this is the borders are, no, you can't open our southern border, have no federal guarantees or guarding the southern border with the United States, and allow and then care about the Ukrainian border. It doesn't make any sense. But see, it doesn't have to make any sense. All right, in case you missed it, this is something I want to get into real quick here. How many people out there, show of hands, studio audience, show of hands. Hey, you in the pink sweater there, put your mask back on. All right. somebody's going to say, hey, never mind. How many people out there saw or watched any part of that five-hour hearing with Ron Johnson that had featured Dr. Malone and Dr. Pierre Corey and other luminaries there? It was a marathon. It was really a great hearing. I watched all 4 hours and 56 minutes of it or whatever it was, and I thought it was fantastic. Well, I've got one. Let's see. I've got a couple of takeaways from this. Let's go to video one. This is, let me make sure that I've got this right. My notes are incomplete on this. Thank you for your kindness here. Okay, let's play clip one. This is Dr. Pierre Corey giving a dose of truth at this hearing before held by Senator Ron Johnson. Listen to this, and we're going to work from here. This is about the reaction to the pandemic, the coronavirus pandemic. Oh, and don't let me forget, Eric the Tech, about the monkeys that were on the loose that were not anymore in Pennsylvania here, because got some information on that. But go ahead and play that segment from clip one. And by the way, the source video, which will be in the links of HagmanReport.com, the individual who posted this on Rumble, the channel is Chief Nerd. Chief Nerd. So hat tip to Chief Nerd. This is sourcing a portion of that video, and this is about 17 minutes plus in. And this is Dr. Pierre Corey. Go ahead and listen to what he's got to say in this Truth Bomb exclusive here. 1723. I was answering Eric, folks.
I'm a pharmacist.
But these are crimes. You know what's going on in this country right now? Is that the CDC has been captured by the pharmaceutical industry. They sent out a memo in August of 2021. They sent out a similar memo back in the spring of 2020. Telling the nation's physicians and pharmacists not to use generic medicines. We are now in a state in this country where Senator Johnson asked the question, how can we get the average U.S. citizen to treat or get treated? We have pharmacists across the land who are refusing to fill these because they've been manipulated and brainwashed into thinking that the FDA hasn't approved the use, as if that matters. off-label prescriptions and prescribing has been going on for decades. It's encouraged when there are no effective treatments. Yet I have to, when I try to treat my patients, and Dr. Marble can attest to this, we have pharmacists who refuse to fill some of the safest and low-cost medicines known in the history of medicine.
All the different drugs that there have been some research on. And what was interesting about this chart is Dr. Corey circled the ones that are recommended by our health agencies. They all range from $700 up to $3,200.
All right. It would be well worth your time to go to the link at HagmanReport.com in the program description box for this episode. Click on the link to the highlights reel from Chief Nerd's channel and go through that entire highlights reel. All right. Definitely do that. But in addition to that, there's another one. Attorney Thomas Rentz, and I'm in contact with his people, who, I'll tell you what, these people are busy. We're busy trying to get schedules together. It's like, it's ridiculous. But he's going to appear on our show. Now, he appeared before the Ron Johnson's panel here. And listen to this. This is specific to the military. And I've got some additional information, additional to what he says. This from Daniel Horowitz. But listen to this. This is a little bit longer of a video, but let's let the experts talk. This is about whistleblowers and the U.S. military. So my question to you, to the listeners, again, those people out there who are so blinded. Remember that song, Blinded by the Science? But in this case, blinded by the science? All right. So listen to this and ask yourself, could this be part of the Great Reset that really impacts our military? This by Attorney Rentz as part of that marathon meeting. Watch this.
Please tell me, apparently one of the whistleblowers is brave enough to come forward and give a name, or I would not have allowed you to come.
Yes, Senator. So we've got three whistleblowers who have given me permission at this point to share their name. Lieutenant Colonel Dr. Teresa Long, DOMPH, Dr. Samuel Sigloff, and Lieutenant Colonel Dr. Peter Chambers, DO and flight surgeon. All three have given me this data. I have declarations from all three. This data is under penalty. This is under penalty of perjury. We intend to submit this to the courts. We have substantial data showing that we saw, for example, miscarriages increased by 300% over the five-year average, almost. We saw almost 300% increase in cancer over the five-year average. Cancer is not being talked about except for by Dr. Ryan Cole. Thank you, doctor. We saw, this one's amazing, neurological. So neurological issues which would affect our pilots, over 1,000% increase. 1,000.
Ten times. That's 10 times the rate, and obviously that resonates.
83,000 per year. I'm sorry, 82,000 per year to 863,000 in 1 year. Our soldiers are being experimented on, injured, and sometimes possibly killed. Dr. Corey, thank you so much for your stance on the corruption. That's precisely what it is. They know this. And, Senator, when these doctors are attacked, not necessarily the people in this room, I'm not giving names, they call me. I'm the one dealing with the medical boards. I'm the one watching the witch hunts. I'm the one fighting them off, and I'm the one telling them where to go. I'm going to keep doing that. Senator, we also have, let me give you this last thing, and then I'll shut up and get out of your way. 9/28/2021. Project Salus weekly report. Project Salus is a Defense Department initiative where they report and they take all this data that doesn't exist supposedly, and they give it to the CDC. They're watching these vaccines. On that date and around that date, I have numerous instances where Fauci and that entire crew were saying it's a crisis of the unvaxxed. It's 99% unvaxxed in the hospital. In Project Salus, in the weekly report, the DoD document says specifically 71% of new cases are in the fully vaxxed, and 60% of hospitalizations are in the fully vaxxed. This is corruption at the highest level. We need investigations. The Secretary of Defense needs investigated. The CDC needs to be investigated. And thank you so much, Senator, for having the courage to stand against these special interests.
So,
and that now that was Ohio Attorney Thomas Renz, who's been representing clients suing the vaccine mandates. He presented Department of Defense medical billing data from the Defense Medical Epidemiology Database. That's DMED for short, D-M-E-D for short. Okay, now, this paints a very shocking and disturbing picture of the health of our military members in 2021 and forward, okay? First of all, data, transparency, and surveillance. This now this is a recent report this morning by Daniel Horowitz, Conservative Review, but data, transparency, and surveillance, that's what's been missing from the greatest experiment on humans of all time throughout this pandemic. Now, think about that sentence. The greatest experiment on humans. And this is where mass formation psychosis comes in, because people somehow are made to believe through this mass formation psychosis that, hey, this is all on the up and up. This has been approved. This has been tested. This is all good. You know, stamp of approval. Hey, trust the science. No, blinded by the science, right? Again, but data, transparency, and surveillance, that's what's been missing. And he's absolutely right. So you've got military medical whistleblowers that came forward, three actually. And again, this is how this works in that venue. Now, Attorney Renz, and believe me, I've lived in this world, so I get this. Attorney Renz knows the names of the whistleblowers, turns the names over to Ron Johnson. They verify, they authenticate the people. In other words, yes, these people are who they say they are. Yes, the information is as they are presenting. Okay, now you go ahead and speak for them in this setting so they don't get blowback. This is a very standard thing we've seen. But so, let me continue. The pro-pharma politicians and the legacy crappy BS media and the BS social media claim that the CDC's pharma surveillance tool, VAERS, is not good enough to trigger investigations into the shots because anyone can supposedly submit adverse events to that database. You've heard that argument, right? Therefore, ergo, all the concerning safety signals from DARES are being ignored. Oh, you can't trust that. Are you stupid? You can't trust VAERS? No, but wait a second. Pre-2021, it really was like, you know, the official database. But now, no. All right, so you know why VAERS was put into place? Do you know why? Because that system was put in place as a consolation to the public for absolving vaccine manufacturers of liability. Huh. Okay. Anyway, moving on. Think about that. Well, now some military whistleblowers are coming forward to present data that have verified, and it's being verified as we speak, would signal extremely disturbing safety concerns about the vaccine. That makes the VAERS data look like kids play, like recess. It's BS. I mean, this is incredible. On Monday, again, Tom Renz submitted the information. You heard it there. You saw it there. Now, according to the military, DMED, that database, is the Armed Forces Health Services Surveillance Branch's web-based tool to remotely query de-identified active component personnel and medical event data contained within the Defense Medical Surveillance System. Did you get that? Nah. Anyway, this is their tool. So in other words, look, it contains every ICD medical billing code for any medical diagnosis in the military submitted for medical insurance billing during any given period of time. In other words, this is how they pay the bills. They assign the code to it, and but that's the so this is the surveillance system. So here's the three military doctors that Thomas Rentz was talking about. They have the three military doctors presented queried data to attorney Rentz that shows this shocking and sudden spike in nearly every ICD code for common vaccine injuries in 2021. In a declaration under penalty of perjury that Rentz plans to use in federal court, believe me, this is going to federal court. The three doctors that he mentioned, including Teresa Long, Peter Chambers, and Dr. Samuel Sigaloff, they said that there has been a 300% increase in DMED codes registered for miscarriages. You heard that. In 2021, over the five-year average. The five-year average was 1,499 codes for miscarriages per year during the first 10 months, not 12, but 10 months of 2021. Listen to this. It was 4,182. So the doctors, the three doctors mentioned, they queried the numbers for hundreds of codes from 2016 through 2020 to establish a five-year baseline average. Now think about this. These codes are generally for ailments and injuries that medical literature has established as being potential adverse effects of any vaccine or vaccines in general. Rentz had told Daniel Horowitz in the article that the numbers tended to be very similar during that 5 year, during the 4 years running up to 20 and through 2020. But things changed in 2021. 2021, not including November and December, has seen an explosion of maladies, of sicknesses, of illnesses, of spikes in various things, including, as I mentioned, miscarriages, spontaneous abortions, cancer diagnoses, 300% increase in cancer diagnoses from those who got the vaccine or the shot, not the vaccine, but the shot, from a five-year average of 38,700 to, listen to this, 114,645. That's really inclusive an 11-month running average. That's unbelievable. There was a 1,000% increase in the diagnosis codes for neurological issues. 1,000% for neurological issues in our military. Some other numbers that he did not mention. Myocardial infarction, heart attacks, damage to the heart muscle. 269% increase. Again, we're looking at a very narrow post-jab scenario, military billing codes, military members, myocardial infarction, 269% increase. Bell's palsy, 291% increase. This is sad. Congenital malformations for children of military personnel, 156% increase. Female infertility. Oh, I guess this does work, huh, Bill Gates? 471% increase. And pulmonary emboli, 467% increase. Is it worth it? Tom Rentz said, That's just the tip of the iceberg. He said, you ain't seen nothing yet. It's incredible, folks. It's really a sad thing. One more thing. I want to mention this as well. You know, when the hospital protocol, and in this five-hour hearing, There is discussion about remdesivir. I have watched people who I care about go to hospitals and receive the same protocol, whether it's in Sacramento, California, Toledo, Ohio, Washington, D.C., Miami, wherever it might be. It's the same protocol. It's for every COVID patient. This by the FDA and CDC, who really technically have no business establishing this protocol. But this is a short video, the frightening truth about remdesivir. And I want you to see this, and I'm going to bring Dr. Richard Proctor on and give him the full next hour of what we're talking about. But this was at the same hearing. This is a very, very, this is a case, folks, that has been repeated over and over and over and over and over again. But this is one physician talking about remdesivir and his experiences. Watch this.
If you look at the four independent studies, including the large study by the WHO, it shows the opposite effect. Remdesivir increases the risk of death. Let me say that again. Remdesivir increases the risk of death by 3%. It increases your chances of renal failure by 20%. This is a toxic drug. But just to make the situation even more preposterous, the federal government will give hospitals a 20% bonus on the entire hospital bill if they prescribe remdesivir to Medicare patients. The federal government is incentivizing hospitals to prescribe a medication which is toxic. So, it should be noted that remdesivir costs about $3,000 a course. Dr. Corey spoke about ivermectin. Ivermectin reduces the risk of death by about 50%. It costs the WHO 2 cents. 2 cents. So, as regards dexamethasone, this is the wrong drug in the wrong dose for the wrong duration of time. Yet every clinician in this country will absurdly use this homeopathic dose of dexamethasone. Why? Because the NIH tells them to do this. So what the NIH and other agencies have ignored are multiple FDA-approved drugs. These are FDA-approved drugs. These are not experimental drugs, which are cost-effective and safe and have unequivocally been shown to reduce the death of patients in the ICU and in hospital.
I'm going to tell you something. The number of people that could have been saved by early treatment through the therapeutical use of off-label drugs, somewhere around 500,000. I believe that's the number being floated out there. And to the doctors out there, there are some who are watching and listening to this broadcast. I know you are. You're going to have to answer for that. And I think all of the doctors I know and I've spoken to, even who disagree with me vociferously on this issue, believe in God. You're going to have to answer to God one day. Not to me, but to God. But I hope to every American, to every person in the West, you will have to answer for your actions, for your lack of research, and for your allowing people to die either by your hand or under your watch. And if folks, I'm going to tell you right now, if you've got a doctor like that, fire him, fire her, but walk away. Dr. Richard Proctor, ProvisInstitute.com, coming right up. Before I get to Dr. Proctor, I tell you what, 2022, look, this is going to be a really kind of a huge year for a lot of businesses. I know we talk about the bad side of 2021 and all business stuff that went on, but I've got to tell you,
some industries are projected to grow even more this year. I was at a dog groomer place, okay, this week, and they are expanding. Their business is booming. And you know what? They're getting into dog walking services, going from grooming to like all, they're expanding their services, dog feeding services. This is incredible. I was absolutely impressed by their expansion plans. And we were talking about the need for personnel, need for people to staff these certain positions. So naturally, I mentioned ZipRecruiter, ZipRecruiter.com/Hagman. And I did, this is honest to goodness truth. So we were talking about this. So if you are listening to this and you work or own a business in one of the industries that are exploding, and this also, I had the occasion to talk to somebody in home improvement. Eric the Tech does a lot in HVAC and stuff. And well, anyway, long story short, we had a conversation where this construction company is just expanding as well here locally. Again, looking for qualified personnel, ZipRecruiter.com/Hagman. So if you work in one of these growing industries or a wide range of other industries, you probably need to hire ASAP. The only place to go is ZipRecruiter.com/Hagman. Right now, you can try for free at ZipRecruiter.com/Hagman. ZipRecruiter uses powerful technology to find and match the right candidates. They match them with your job. Then it proactively presents these candidates to you. You can easily review these recommended candidates and invite your top choices to apply for your job, which encourages them to apply faster. And so it's no wonder why ZipRecruiter is the number one rated hiring site in the U.S. based on G2 ratings. And you know what? ZipRecruiter's technology is so effective that 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get quality candidates, within the first day. And now you can try ZipRecruiter for free at this exclusive web address. Use this address, please, folks, ZipRecruiter.com/Hagman. That's ZipRecruiter.com/Hagman. And Hagman is H-A-G-M-A-N-N. Sneaky, huh? Another N on the last there, another N on the Hagman. Two N's on Hagman. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And the dog grooming place is really, I was really excited about having knowledge of ZipRecruiter.com/Hagman. So I expect my cut. I'm kidding, of course. Dr. Richard Proctor, ProvisInstitute.com. Anything economic, anything constitutional, anything law-like, anything. How are we going to save this country? Save the Constitution? Are we going to save the Constitution? Are we going to save the country? What about the economy? What about the velocity of money, the M2 money supply? What's going on here? And hey, would a war, maybe like a new war over in Europe, would that get things rolling, the economy rolling? I don't know. What's on his mind? Dr. Richard Proctor, ProvisInstitute.com. By the way, bookmark ProvisInstitute.com. Bookmark it right now. Go there right now. Bookmark it. P-R-O-V-I-S. ProvisInstitute.com. It's in the program description box. And purchase the books there, including and especially the Liberty series. Oh, my goodness. You will be informed. Bathroom Economics as well. It's a good book. Bathroom Economics is a good book. But the Liberty series is really one of a kind. With me, Dr. Richard Proctor. Your time, your subjects, go. Dr. Proctor, how are you?
Hi, good, guy. I'm here. I'm happy. Everything is fine. Yes. By the way, I'm one of those who walked away from his doctor.
There. Yeah.
I walked away. I still use him for scripts because they're free. I still use him for scripts.
Yep.
I do that kind of stuff, but I haven't been to see the doctor for anything for a year and a half. I have divorced myself from the VA system. I pay out of my pocket now rather than use free services at the VA.
That's the best way to do it. I found prescriptions, because when my wife had surgery and stuff, so I get prescriptions and insurance. And I found that there was like a 10 cent difference. I was paying like $22 or 20, it was $20. I had to pay $20 under the prescription. Somehow they were having trouble I don't know, with the prescription or with the insurance. I'm sorry. And I said, let me just pay cash for it. So the girl said, okay, fine. I said, how much is it? I probably should ask first. She said, it's like $20.22 or something. It was some really strange number. It was like 20 cents more than with the insurance. So check, folks, before you, you know, just check. So, yeah, you know what? It's a good idea, brother. It's a good idea.
Yeah, but you see, my script would have been zero.
Well, that's, see, yeah, I know.
Would have been zero. It still is, by the way, because he writes the scripts. Even when the civilian physicians order it, he writes the scripts, and it still is zero. So I can do that. That worked. But I don't go see him. I don't go see him anymore.
You know,
he has locked onto this thing as absolutely perfect. There's no problem with the CDC. There's no problem with anything. Everything is exactly as it's been reported in the media. That's his position.
Wow.
And he and I have talked about it many times. And he gets upset with me. And I probably shouldn't say this, but I get upset with him, but not on the air, not on the call.
Well, no, but...
Not on the time, but I get upset because he will not pay attention to what's going on around him.
So
he's just one. Why? He's just one of thousands and thousands.
But see, I've talked to doctors who disagree with me, but they will have a conversation, and I'll say, "Have you seen this study, or have you seen this this bit of information?" And they look at it. Other doctors will say, "Shut up, go away." So why is that? I mean,
it's where they work. It's how they're working. He's working in the VA. If they discover he says anything contrary to the government position, they'll fire him. And he knows it.
Mm.
He works for the VA.
Right.
That's important.
Mm. Wow.
Doctors who are in clinics, they can get away with a lot. Doctors that are in their own offices get away with everything. Doctors in hospitals, they'll fire them if they don't say the right things.
Well, all doctors have, I mean, not all, but most have to have hospital privileges, right? So if the hospital administrator says, hey, you got to do it this way. I mean, I'm looking at, that aside, do you think that anything is going to change? Do you think that with?
No.
No? Okay.
No, it's just going to get worse. What's this thing called, the Omicron?
Yeah.
Oh, that's supposed to be the worst thing coming. We've had all kinds of changes in the VA. Because it's coming, oh, we'll all die again. Ah! But folks, the word information I have is that the Omicron is a good thing, a good virus to go through the country because it sets up a natural immunity to the garbage. So I would think they'd be fighting it rather than pushing it. Anyway, the VA has changed all its policies. You can't even go into the VA now unless you're a patient or must accompany the patient. They won't even let you in.
Of course, you know, the military, I mean, yeah, I get that. They can set the rules. They're paying the bills, even though you serve the country, our country. Yeah, it's their way or the highway. I get that. Just real quick story.
Yeah.
I came to the office really early. It was like 4 o'clock yesterday morning, and the snow plow was out, and the guy was out shoveling. And I saw it on my security camera, so I went out and just said hello to him. And he was wearing a mask. Okay, it was 4 o'clock in the morning. It's dark. It's snowing. It's cold. He's wearing a mask. And I said, are you robbing me? Because we're friends. I said, you robbing me? What are you doing? He said, I have Omicron. I said, really? He said, yeah, I'm on day four right now. I just, you know, in case I contacted anyone, even though it's 4 a.m, I didn't want to like cough on anybody. I said, well, what are you doing out shoveling at 4 a.m, you know, when you, on day four, you're, virus. He said, really, it's not that bad. I said, well, what are you doing? He said, I've taken ivermectin, the frontline protocol. And he said, I'll tell you what, 3 days, I'm back to normal, but I want to be careful and respectful of other people. So I shook his hand. I was going to give him a hug, but he didn't want that. I didn't want that either. But so you're right, though. Okay. So in a sense, right? That's anecdotal evidence, obviously, but there you are. Yeah.
Yeah. So. Yeah, they're scaring the people. They're scaring people to death, saying that everything's the same. Everything is not the same. This one turns out to be a good thing for us. It passes very quickly too. It's very contagious. But don't worry about it. If you get it, that's good for you.
Well, we got another thing to contend with, that, you know, three monkeys. There was a crash. I don't know whether you heard about this. Real quick, in Danville, Pennsylvania, outside of Geisinger Medical Center, a truck driver hit another truck, and this truck was carrying pharmaceutical monkeys or test monkeys. And a woman was falling behind this truck, and some of the monkeys' cages and everything, you know, toppled out and stuff. Anyway, long story short, she was exposed to a hissing monkey in one of the cages. Three escaped, were later euthanized and found. But the monkey hissed at her, and she came down with a pink eye and cold symptoms. Notified by the CDC to say, hey, you know what? We're going to have to give you like rabies shots and all these other shots, even though nothing happened. But nothing to see here, okay? Nothing to see here. I've got some information forthcoming on that, but what the hell's going on? I mean, what are they doing out there, Richard Proctor? What are they? This is out of
the hospital system has forgotten its purpose.
I guess so.
The federal government is in charge of it.
Man, tell you what,
that sums it up.
We've lost our flipping minds. You're right.
Yes. Remember what I read before? At the end of the day, the real pandemic in America isn't the flu, the Wuhan thing. It's the gross ignorance and mindless compliance with unlawful, unconstitutional, and maniacal mandates that no thinking person would ever comply with.
Yeah. You've been right all along about masks and stuff. The studies are out. Masks are crap.
Doesn't do a thing for you. Oh, doesn't help you a bit. You have 200 masks on, it won't be any better than having none. By the way, I want to mention something for the guys who maybe don't quite understand the math of this thing. When you say 1,000% increase, that's 10 times what it was. If you say 417% increase, that's 4.17 times what it was. That's the math side of it. 10 times.
I'm glad you're there to keep my math straight. But imagine that, though.
I wasn't trying to keep anything straight. I was just trying to point out what 1,000% means.
Well, that's important to understand, though. I mean, 10 times?
Oh, yes.
I mean,
absolutely.
You know, okay. And last night I was home and with my wife, and she received a phone call, a good friend of hers. Her sister, my wife's good friend's sister, got the jab in November. And she was just diagnosed with a very aggressive form of cancer that had been in remission for like 12 years. So, you know, there's stuff. The numbers, anecdotal evidence like mine, this is backing up the numbers that they're being put forth out there publicly.
But you see, that will not be reported that way. No. It will be reported as cancer that restarted, you might say.
Sure.
Went out of remission. It won't be recorded as anything to do with vaccines or the disease or anything. You can't believe any of the statistics today that are being compiled. The statistics of 2021 and 22 will be garbage if you try to use them for any statistical comparison. They'll be garbage.
Are you expecting to see like excess deaths to be a result of this? Do you think? Are you expecting that?
Say that again.
I'm sorry. I have to take the laws and gentlemen. Are you expecting excess deaths to increase?
Oh yes, okay. Absolutely.
All right.
Absolutely. I figure they're going to just grow. I listen to the number of ambulances going up and down our street, and I wonder each time I hear one. Because I didn't used to hear them very often. Now I wonder each time I hear one. We've had 5 deaths in our community here, within a mile of where I'm sitting. And these guys were all told that they had COVID, and it was a COVID death, but they just barely all been immunized.
Man, what are we doing?
And we're now immunizing children.
Yep.
Clear down to 4 and 5-year-old elementary kids. Sorry. This is called child abuse.
I agree. And the parents that, you know, make these cutesy masks for their children and make the children wear the masks wherever they go. Child abuse.
Those masks do nothing at all. I mean, you cannot get a mask. You cannot buy a mask that will do anything about this. You cannot buy one. Okay? Medical research people can get them.
Right.
And sometimes, and most of the time, they have to have a separate source of air coming from another location. Folks, we're talking about if we really are having something this serious, we're talking about very serious protection. But we're not talking about anything that's very serious, and the government doesn't want us to really get protected. They just want us to wear a flipping mask with holes in it. It's just exactly like I put up a chain link fence the other day, keep out the mosquitoes this summer.
Yeah.
But I wasn't sure it would work. So I put out 10 of them right in a row. Make sure the mosquitoes won't get there.
Yeah, you could put out 10 and even overlap them slightly, and it still would not work. You know, it's just ridiculous.
You can overlap them halfway. Overlap them halfway. It won't work.
No. Do you think as the truth comes out, and this is a subjective question and answer, but do you think that there's going to be any accountability for people like Fauci and Daszak and the people who created this situation through the gain-of-function research? Will there be anybody held to account?
Let me read this one.
Okay.
If the facts don't make us feel good, we will choose to find a different set of facts to believe in, even when those facts are blatant lies. Okay. No, we will not have these people brought to justice, because the international banking establishment has been doing this and murdering people and getting people out of the way for 200 plus years. And there's never been any accountability. Why do you expect it now?
I guess I had held out a little bit of glimmer of hope, but you know what? I think, and sadly to say this, I think that if there's going to be any justice to be had, it's going to have to be the old Western style street justice, because I don't think anything else is going to work.
Yeah. I'm afraid so. But just think about it for a minute. You're going to hear about a physician that died. Check it out. He died because of either the vaccine, but probably not. He probably died because he was killed, but it will be called a suicide or an accident or something. But he was murdered because he didn't go along. We have a Supreme Court justice that didn't live very long after he wouldn't go along. That's just recent. We're not talking in the days of Abraham Lincoln. We're talking right now. Scalia. However you say his name.
Yeah, Scalia. And people remember
Scalia
that.
Scalia was murdered in Texas because he wouldn't go along.
Yep.
I'm surprised Clarence Thomas is still with us.
And, you know, his wife, Ginny Thomas, is extremely active, too, in conservative circles. And boy, that's just making people crazy. But, yes, I'm surprised, too, that they're still, you know, they're still with us.
Right.
Yeah. Well, back to you, sir. Whatever you want to talk about.
I'm just looking at the notes from what you did, what you talked about. You talked about people, businesses thriving and growing and that kind of thing. Okay, folks, every construction company in the state of Utah is under the gun to get more people hired and get more stuff in. And every supplier they're going to is under the gun to get more work done. The demand is way, way higher than they can even do. I had a firm commitment 6 weeks ago that I would have trusses delivered for my roof last Friday. On Thursday night, the day before, they called and said they won't be delivered until the 21st of March. And that's not because they're sitting on their back ends. That's because there's so much going on. I mean, you're in the construction business and you can figure out a way to get materials. You can become a millionaire really quickly because so many people want things they can't get. There is another problem, though. Federal government's causing another problem. They're paying people so much to stay home and not work that people who are needed at the job won't go. So they're not productive at all. I've talked a few times, but let's get back to it for once. Production is the measure of the wealth of your community, not gold, not silver. Production. That's the measurement. Not fiat currency, not anything but production. Gold is a commodity. It trades on the market. Production isn't, so to speak, a commodity. It changes in the marketplace. Production, that's what we need. Well, the government's keeping all the production home by paying them money to make them, to help them want to stay home. That's a problem. That's a problem. See, our government in every way, shape, or form is doing everything it can to prevent us from getting back, to prevent us from returning, to prevent us from having a natural society, not normal society again. Now, I know the word normal's changed, but the normal for me is December 1919. Yeah, 2019. That's the normal for me, December 2019. Anything after December 2019 is not normal, period. That's my view, my measurement.
Now, you know, some people will say, well, that's arbitrary. That's an arbitrary normal because...
No, it's not. It's the month, two weeks before this thing started.
Right.
2 weeks before all this stuff came out. 2 weeks before, everything was fine. A great Christmas. Everything was good. It was normal society.
Normal by modern standards. Yes.
There was a problem already. Go ahead.
No, normal by modern standards. Because I know some people, and God bless them, will say, well, normal changed when they took prayer out of schools. Normal changed. You know, everyone has this arbitrary date of when their normal changed. However, you're right. When you look at the current situation, normal, December 2019, yeah, normal. Now, not so much. Everything is askew. You're right. But
people will find anything they want to disagree with what they don't want to hear.
Sure.
I don't want to hear that normal is then. My normal was then. My normal was when I got out of college. I don't care. Society's normal stopped the end of December 1919.
I agree.
I'm sorry, 2019.
2019, I agree.
December 2019. The society's normal stopped. Yep. And unless we get back to that same situation, it isn't normal. It's screwed up.
So, having said that, do you think we're going to get back to normal? Do you think? Ever?
Let me see. If the facts don't make us feel good, then we choose to find a different set of facts, even if those facts are blatant lies.
Oh, what does that say? What does that mean?
Means that they're just going to listen to what they want to listen to, find what they like, and that's what they're going to say is true.
Exactly.
And they don't care about the facts. They don't care about any. Well, that's just your opinion. I hear that every day. Well, not every day because I don't go out. Every day I'm out there talking to people about these kinds of things. Oh, that's just your opinion. I have my opinion. Oh, good. I have an opinion that you shouldn't shove your finger in an electric light socket. Do you have a different opinion? Well, no. Well, then why can you have a different opinion about this? Follow the facts. Don't follow the science. Science is all paid for. Follow the path. Follow the truth. Follow common sense. Oh, but common sense is out the window. We don't need common sense. And that's true, too. We don't need common sense.
So you're speaking directly to this mass formation psychosis that's been bandied about and talked about and is accurately, you know, within society. So you're right. I mean, I watch video after video. Common sense is not common. You're right. It's not common anymore. People are flipped out. They're freaked out. They're sick in the head. What's wrong with people?
Hey, you know, the real problem, Doug, is that you and I, with common sense, have to deal with the rest of the population.
I know. And it hurts.
Now, here we go now. I'm not talking one bit about the people who are listening to your programs. They are on target.
Right.
I'm talking about their neighbors who will not, all caps.
You know, you're right. And at some point, you just have to dust your feet off and say, I'm done. You know, have a good life. God bless you.
You can't do that. I can't do that. I have right now, several hundred books sitting in, available in every bookstore in the United States at 1995. That's saving the Constitution. At 1995, they're going to run out. Then there won't be any more 1995s. Do you think your the neighbors of all these people are running out to get one cheaper than they can anyplace else? No, they're not. I don't need that. I know the Constitution. I read it in high school. Yeah, I know what it is. Well, every time I have a seminar and I talk about the Constitution, almost every person in the group sits there with their mouth open saying, I didn't know that. I didn't know that. I didn't know that. Why is that right? What's going on? Every one of them.
And folks, he's got Dr. Richard Proctor. I want to mention this. He's got a podcast that's really educational. I mean, it's like a laser or a sniper, like, to use a military axiom, I guess, a sniper like teaching on various aspects, various topics. And it's every week. There it is right there, Saving the Constitution.
This one should be up there. The one that should be up there yesterday's is how to deal with creation of value, what creation of value really means, or how do you create value? Those subjects are covered. I spent an hour on it and ran out of time.
Wow. Interesting. And folks, go through, the link will be in the program description, or just go to provostinstitute.com and click on the Saving the Constitution podcast. The topics there are extremely relevant to what's happening today. Did I say that right? What's happening today?
Yep.
Okay. So, yes, they're relevant to today's events.
And, you know, Doug, when I started it, I was worried that I could say enough to fill a whole hour. I was worried about that. One subject, a whole hour? Folks, I have trouble now staying within the hour on the same subject.
Yeah, I know the
feeling. There is so much. And I'm not talking about the current news, mostly, a little bit. But I'm not talking about the current stuff. That's just, that's like a flood heading at us. I'm talking about the Constitution, which has been around for 200 years plus. I'm talking about economics, which was written down in 1776, so people could understand what they already knew. Economics has been around since Adam walked out of the garden and tried to buy something from his neighbor. Well, he had to wait a little while before he could buy something from his neighbor when he came out of the garden, but you got the idea. That's when economics started, was when the first people were there together, trading, bartering their value. See, value, your value. What is your value? That's a good question to always ask yourself. Don't ask other people. What's your value? Your value is what you have created that somebody else doesn't know anything about and can't do as well as you can do. That's your value. And every person within the sound of my voice has a value intrinsic to themselves, and they just don't develop it because they don't sit back and ponder, what value do I have? Ponder. Now, I don't have any good value of digging ditches, folks. I did that as a teenager. I have dug ditches, okay? No, I don't dig ditches. I don't have any value there. None at all. But I have a value in helping people understand the Constitution, understand economics, so their lives will be better. Did you hear that sentence? A value in helping you understand the Constitution and economics so your life will be better. Now, that's kind of a good deal. For a measly few dollars, that's kind of a good deal. Your life could be better. I was talking to my young wife here the other day, describing some of the things around us, and she looked at me and said, you know, it is sure good we don't have to go through those things because of what we know. That's it. In a nutshell,
how can we help our listeners and viewers apply that to them? I mean, whatever they might.
Well, let me give you some examples.
Okay.
They're in yesterday's podcast, but let me do it anyway here. Let me give you some examples. I had mall stores back in the 1993 to 2009. Okay, that period of time. I had mall stores selling pretzels. Now, I was bringing a pretzel to that society that they had never, ever seen before. That's not to say they didn't know about pretzel crackers. That's not to say they didn't know about J&J frozen stuff. No, that's not. They had those. We brought in pretzels that were soft like Wonder Bread. Oh, they were soft to the touch. They were flavorful. Oh, they were so nice. Butter would roll down your arm. Oh, they were nice. And it was only a buck and a half to $3.50, depending on what you order, depending on when you ordered it. Okay, anyway, so that was a creation of value for that area. I did that because I brought it to that area. I didn't invent the pretzel. I didn't invent the recipe. I just got a hold of it and did it. That's one way. Notice I said, I did it. I didn't go say, you do it for me and I'll join you. I didn't say that. I said, I did it. Okay. I was working, helping people save insurance companies, thus insurance premiums, saving money on all kinds of medical procedures. I worked at that job for a year and a half. I discovered while working for that job, in that job, that there was no cost containment procedures for what they call ambulatory surgery. None. There wasn't one. Now, ambulatory surgery means, oh, I got a wart right here. That's ambulatory. Ambulatory surgery means you go home after the procedure. You're not hospitalized. There was no cost containment for it. I had to fight tooth and toenail to finally get it started. When I got it started, money rolled in like I couldn't count it all because so many people wanted it. I finally sold that company because I didn't want to be bothered with it any longer. That was creation of value. You can do that. All you have to do is look around. You go somewhere and you say, well, you know, if that drain would just flow this way, it would be better. Well, then help people learn that. Do it. I know how to produce solar panels, and I can sell them for like $200 each rather than $800 and make a profit. But the government won't let me. Why won't they let me? Because I have to have a UL stamp of approval, and the UL stamp is $60,000 first and then annual upkeep. That's why things cost so much, because we have a UL approval. Now, let me tell you what these were made of. Copper wire, 2x4s, and plastic. Normal plastic. That's it. 2x4s, copper wire. But they had to check it for 6 months. Everything against fire for 6 months. How come you have to check a tube before for 6 months? Why do you have to check copper wire for 6 months? Why do you have to check either one? No. We will not give you a certificate till we check it for 6 months. It will cost you $60,000. I didn't do it. They kept me out of the market. They kept me from providing you a service. Now, if you're building your own home or you're building something that's outside of the grid, then I got the deal for you. But if you try to hook it to the grid, they won't let you.
But still, that's interesting. I mean, in theory, one could say, okay, I can see why, you know, a more complex piece of equipment, maybe electrically, I can see maybe some oversight there, okay? But what you're saying, and this might be the way to go. Hey, you know what? Heck with the UL Underwriters Laboratory stamp of inspection. Go ahead and build it yourself, right? So maybe sell the plans.
Yes, but here's your but. You see, those but sounds like a putter going down the street. The city won't let you connect your house to it unless these have UL approval. They won't let you do it. So since you can't connect your house, you must depend on it 100% of the time.
Oh.
Not a good plan.
Especially up here when we don't see the sun for months. Okay, yeah.
Yeah. You need help at night. You need help during bad weather. But when the sun's out there, you got too much. Let's give it back to the city. But they won't take it unless it's UL approved. And that was the catch right there. It was the connection to the city. the battery problems and construction problems of doing enough to keep your house going all the time are horrendous. You've got to be hooked to the source. Now, I know of another item that would solve all those problems. This is to do with Tesla and his stuff. Not Tesla automobiles. No. Tesla, like Tesla himself did back in the teens. I have seen, watch this now, I have seen, and I could have it done. Okay, I could do it. I could get, never mind. I have seen a fellow take a transmitter and a receiver, not connected with anything. No wireless, no WFI, YY, Wi-Fi, or anything, just in the same room. And the transmitter transmits out into the broad 365-degree area. And you have a receptor in your hand or you can get a hold of it. I have seen fluorescent light bulbs light up when I was holding them up in the air and the transmitter was across the room and the receiver was right close to where I was. I was holding them in the air. So asking, how many could we do? Oh, as many as you want. But we haven't got enough power to do more than two at one time in one place. Therefore, they couldn't run the refrigerator. Could you do more? Oh, yeah, you could do more. But why don't you? Well, I got a job. I can't afford to leave it. And I got this and I got that. Sounds to me like the lady who said, where's the beef? And quit her job because she might lose Social Security.
Interesting analogy there in comparison. Okay. So, all right. Well, keep going because.
Oh, it's just fascinating. Things are fascinating. I've had ideas all the time that I could do, but sometimes it depends on this or depends on that, depends on the other. So you have to find one that depends on you or you and me. You know what I'm talking about, guys. You got to find one like that.
Well,
I mean, the books I wrote, that depends on me and the printers and the publisher. Then I found out the publisher is too expensive, so I found a way around him. I published my own books.
There you go.
Does that work? You bet. I got my books in the Library of Congress that I published myself.
Right. To bring this relevant to everyone, I mean, people get censored. In fact, who was it, Simon & Schuster? I don't mean to disparage any company if this is wrong, but they decided not to publish someone's book. So that person self-published and a pretty prominent name, as I recall. So there are ways around this. So with today, because to bring this relevant to today, what you're talking about, there are a lot of people that they say, no, you know what? I'm not going to take that experimental jab. So you're going to have to fire me. They get fired. Well, what do I do?
That's right. What do I do now?
Okay. So what you're saying, and I like to think this way, we should. I mean, this applies to all of us because at some point we need to go ahead.
We live in the United States where every opportunity is there if you'll just do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree 100%. So, but even drilling down further, we're going to have to develop an alternative or parallel economy, right?
No. You just have to do your thing and fit in. That's all you have to do. No parallel, nothing. Do your thing and fit in.
Maybe that's semantics. Okay.
Let me just say something.
Cool.
Okay. This is an idea anybody in the audience could do. Anybody. Decide you're going to establish an advertising agency. Just decide it. Write the bylaws and the stuff to get your incorporation and do an S corp too. Don't do a C and definitely don't do an LLC. Get an S corp. STUV S corp. That's an S corporation. It means you only get taxed once by the federal government instead of twice or multiple times. That's what it means. The LLC will die and you'll become a partnership and you'll have no protection. That's why it's called limited liability protection. Well, an S corp is not limited. I don't know why the attorneys think everybody should have a LLC. Maybe they make more money. I can help anybody who wants set up an LLC at next to nothing. I'm sorry, set up an S corp at next to nothing. Okay, so you're going to form an S corp. I've been doing this for 20 years. Every company I have is an S corp. Form an S corp. Coca-Cola could be an S corp. There's no limit to the top. Okay, you just can't own any other company. You see, S corps can't own another corporation. C corps have to do that. C corps should get taxed twice or more. And that's what the federal government wants. It's all secrets. Anyway, go ahead. Here's what you do. You decide. So then you write the paper. You don't go out and buy an office. You don't go out and hire secretaries. You don't go out and set up a fancy thing and say, I'm ready to go to work. You don't do that. You work in your basement. You get a list of people who are advertising things. That's not tough to find. Go to Coca-Cola. They're advertising things. Maybe that's too big because they got national contracts. Go, don't mark it out though. I mean, I was working with Pepsi Cola because Pepsi Cola would give me kickbacks and Coke wouldn't. So I went to Pepsi, I sold Pepsi products. Well, that's how you do stuff. Pay attention. Okay, then if you want to go somewhere and do something, you got to pay attention. Isn't that what they said in the Sister Act 2? If you want to go somewhere and you want to do something, you got to pay attention. That's it. Very important. Pay attention to what's around you. Now, you're going to do this advertising agency. Look around you. I'll bet you can find some of the nicest advertising individuals that would love to do that. You won't pay them until there are sales. But they know that. It's an experiment. You just do it. So what you do is you find several nice-looking young ladies. That's best to find nice-looking young ladies, guys. I know guys are important. It's best to find nice-looking young ladies. Let's be blunt. Guys look at young ladies. Young ladies look at young ladies. Almost nobody looks at guys.
Here comes the mail now.
Well, I'm sorry. That's how it is. Yeah, if you don't like it to be that way, write all you want. That is how it is. That is how it is. Unless you get a big hunk, you can do it. But, you know, I couldn't sell anything. You know, put me in front of something and say, you should buy this product because I recommend it. They'll run to the other room. But if I have my young wife do it very sweetly, they might pay attention. It is exactly human nature. Don't discount it.
Right. Actually,
you find an advertiser who would like to have their advertisement. It'll be cheaper than big houses. Okay. And then you'll find that person who wants it, and now you've got a model. That young model will have pictures taken. You'll do stuff that works. Now you've got to go around and find places to put it. You see, you've got a lot to do. This doesn't just come because, well, I'm going to do that. Here it is. I'm doing. Go. No. You got a lot to do. I mean, it took us months to get our ambulatory surgery project working. Years to get our ambulatory surgery project working. But when we got it working, it was great. Remember, there's no limit to how much money you can make on your idea. There is a loss. You can't lose more than the money you put into it. So if you just use the electricity at home, it's already there, no cost. Use the desk at home, it's already there, no cost.
Right.
Use the phone at home, it's already there, no cost. See? No cost. You go out and rent an office, you go out and get a phone, you got a secretary. Now there are costs, utilities, all kinds of stuff. You'll last a few months. If you haven't got everything working, you can't stay. But if you do it in your home, even if it's not working, you could still stay.
Right. You'd be paying them anyway. So the message out there, what I'm hearing, and again, add or correct me, add to this as well. If you're stuck in a position where, okay, you got fired because, hey, you didn't want to take a job. You got, or whatever the case might be. You can actually, and this is good for people because I mean, look, I did this 30 years ago. You can actually start your own corporation, very little.
And $30 a year in Utah.
Okay. Yeah. In Pennsylvania, it's a little different, but yes. And you can do what you want. I mean, essentially, do whatever you. It's not like, see, I look at this, and I know you're the same way. It's not like going to work. You know, it's not like punching a time clock, going into work. It's a way of life. It's a lifestyle. And people, and I've talked to people who have been fired because of their you know, refusal to get the jab. And they say, I feel, for the first time, I feel liberated. I feel better than ever before. Well, then you must have some money put aside. No, but I, you know what, I'm gonna do this, and whatever this might be, I'm not gonna, you know.
Does it matter what it is? That's right.
And it's in their heart, and it, folks, you got to do what you love. And I'll tell you, if you do what you love, you're gonna be successful. I really believe that.
By the way, this next concept is very important. You're not punching a time clock anymore. Your time's your own. So your time is all spent doing the new thing, all of it, not 8 hours a day, not 10 hours a day. When I started the ambulatory surgery item, I wrote all the programs. I did all the I did all the work. I did all the walk work. I did all the going. I did everything. I got on planes and fell asleep before the pilots said we're ready to go. I was so tired. I worked not 40-hour weeks, not 60-hour weeks, not 80-hour weeks, sometimes 100 hours plus a week. I had things going all night. I had to monitor. I had to get up regular to go monitor. Folks, it ain't easy. But boy, did that one pay off.
And that's the embodiment, I think, of the American spirit. I'm just saying, you know, you worked your behind off, right? Almost 24/7. Look, I know what I do. I love what I do. So, I mean, I work all the time. It's not a job. It's a way of life. You immerse yourself into it. And you create your own success. And that's something, because we focus so much on the negative stuff. But what you're talking about, if you understand the economics part of it as well, and Richard Proctor makes it pretty doggone easy to understand economics. Go to Bathroom Economics, the book on his website. Get that book, and that'll help you in your quest to do whatever the next chapter in your life might be. And I don't care if you're 70 years old, 80 years old. You can do it.
Bathroom Economics. Will point out some of the things you're going to come against and help you with the solution.
Yeah.
Won't tell you the solution. It'll help you with the solution.
It's a roadmap to navigate around. And I noticed that the last kind of time I paged through it, there's a lot of information there to navigate around the obstacles that are put forth in front of you. So it's a good reference. Bathroom Economics, folks, I recommend it. ProvisInstitute.com, certainly that book as well as any other book on there. But Bathroom Economics in the topic that we're discussing. Very good.
You know, I mentioned earlier that economics began the day people began to live on this earth together. Folks, economics is not a new science, but nobody had ever written down what it was until 1776 when Adam Smith wrote it down in Wealth of Nations. That was the day it was codified. That's the key. He just wrote it down. What did he write down? Almost nothing that everybody didn't already know. But they didn't know they knew it. I discovered that when I went to my economics classes. I'd been doing economics and doing business and doing this kind of stuff since I was 8 years old in my basement, mind you. I was doing these things, my own thing, not somebody else's. I wasn't making any money, but I was doing things and learning. I knew economics backwards and forwards. I did not know I knew it till I went to school and discovered I did. This book helps you discover what you already do know.
It does. It does.
Folks, there's just so much available. You can do so much. You live in this country. So far, nobody has stopped you from doing anything you want to do. I don't know how long that will last, but it's lasting now. So get busy now, not next month, now, today. Go into a dark, quiet room and just think. Think and Grow Rich, that book, good. Think and Grow Rich. I think it was written by Napoleon Hill. Think and Grow Rich. We're going to ignore that.
Okay. Yeah, or at least I'll get it. And, okay. I'm kidding. But Norman Vincent Peale or... Yeah.
It's all done.
All right.
Anyway, I'll have to call these people back because That was the company's coming to do some work here today. But anyway, see, so here we have a situation. And he explains how to do it in Think and Grow Rich. He does a really good job of it. Mm-hmm. But I'm just going to simplify the thing. You go into a room that's quiet. And nobody's around you. There's no outside noises. Tab, piece of paper and a pencil and a chair and a lamp. And just stay there. That's your creation room, your creation time, your thinking time, your planning time. And let your mind float. Don't let it float to garbage that you're trying to do downtown in the store or you're trying to do driving or anything. Let it float on ideas. Say to yourself, what can I do that would help other people? So as things come, write them down. Doesn't make any difference if they work or not. Write them all down. And one will lead to another, which will lead to another, which will lead to another. And before long, you've got one that will work. May take 6 or 8 hours, may take 10 hours, may take all day. Have your lunch in there. Don't leave. The idea is to ponder, get your own mind and your own system thinking about what should I do? And don't go in there and say, what is me? I don't know what to do. Please help me, Napoleon. I need help. I can't do it by myself. I'm waiting for the vision. Nope. Won't work. You gotta, for a long time.
And I found
it's got to be you. It's got to be
it's you. Right. And you know, the thing that I wrestle with, and I know I've talked to many people. I mean, think like Alex Jones, for example. Okay, you've got to actually put your. There's a lot of prayer involved. There should be involved too.
Oh, yes. That's a part of what you're doing while you're in the room. Yes.
Right. Ask for guidance and be obedient to God. That's in a
and
sense.
Listen to the Spirit that will come to you if you're asking properly.
Yep.
I depend on that nowadays. I depend on it. I wrote these books because the Spirit one day when I was waking up said, do it. Okay. I pay attention. I'll do it. I didn't know how to do it, but I started right then, that day. Mm. 6 months later, he said, yeah, got to send this out on the internet so that people know about it. Okay, I'll do it. I don't know how to do it, but I'll do it. And I developed a large, very large group of people I sent stuff out to. How often? Every Tuesday for 6 years. Then the idea came, you got to publish this. What? Me? Publish this? Well, I'll do it, but I don't know how. So first thing I did was trying to find a publisher. There wasn't one. I kept hammering at that and hammering at it until I found somebody that says, we'll publish it. Like, why will you publish it? You don't know me. Oh, we don't care. You got a good book, we'll publish it. I grinned from ear to ear, said, okay, let me show you what I have. They said, we like that, we'll publish it. And they did.
Right.
And you know what else? They asked me to do some work for them and they didn't charge me for it. And while they published my book, I learned how to do my own publishing company. Mm. Then I bought the rights to the first book from them and carried right on.
Fantastic. And see, we can all do that. And again, this addresses the larger issue of the people listening to this who feel caught between, you know, caught in a bad situation with the current events and such. You know, there's hope out there. And I think, like you said, go in that darkened room or the quiet space and hit your knees, pray about, ask for guidance. You know, and people are missing that and even mocking that in certain cases. And we need to
yes,
do that.
Yes, they are.
So,
yes, they are.
And I'm telling you, I think there's opportunities out there, many opportunities, as you mentioned, many opportunities to do what you want to do, do it well. And be successful even despite the events that face us. So very good. Very, very good.
You know, I could use another hour just talking about all the things I've tried to do and experimented with and thought about since I was 8 years old. And all of them would have worked, but I couldn't necessarily have done them all. But they all would have worked. I mean, I figured out in my mind how a little store up here not far from me, and I was 8 to 10 years old. This little store, they call it Waylett's, okay? Little store up here sold candy and a few odds and ends. Okay. I figured out in my own mind how that company could grow to be a huge organization if they wanted to do it. Had it all mapped out. Had it all mapped out how to do it. That was the start of my mapping out ideas and thoughts of what to do.
So you're just to go back to, actually, there's two books here. Bathroom Economics is really, aside from the hardcore information there, it's a amalgamation of your experience with the information, one can argue, or one could contend. And Liberty Series is the background as to how we navigate. Well, Bathroom Economics helps you navigate, but Liberty Series gives you the information to identify, for example, the various people and entities that are fighting against us in historically.
Major problems that we're faced with, who right. did it, and how they did it, to help you understand how to not do it and not be involved. Yes.
Yeah, okay. Which is why, folks, excuse me, go to provisinstitute.com. I need to ask you this because I haven't asked you this before. What's the charge on your books? Because I know that you had, my goodness, the cost of printing went up and stuff. Liberty yeah, Series? What's the Liberty
we
Series?
We charge $25 a book.
Okay.
In all cases, except those that you order in the bookstore until those copies run out.
Okay. All right.
So $25 a book. Don't care. People Liberty's, who call me and order a whole bunch will get a discount.
Okay. But the Liberty Series included in that, right? The $25?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Each book, six books. Okay.
Six. Yeah. Well worth, I'm telling you, well worth the cost of the books, folks, the information in there. However, you missed the $100 out the door sale, which ended in December, I believe. But nonetheless, yeah. It's still good. Even at that price.
Well, the offer isn't good, but the book is.
Right.
Here we go. Now, people call me on the phone and say, I'd like to buy that. We work out a kind of a deal right then and there, and they get them for less than if they just went to the website. I always do that. Always.
That's
that.
Good. And you, okay, so the other thing I want to mention too, because we haven't talked in 2 weeks. Now, you still have your Patreon meetings, correct?
Absolutely. Patreon meeting is the third Tuesday of each month.
All right.
That will be, let me look at my calendar here right now. That will be in February the 15th.
Oh, day after Valentine's Day. All right. 15th. All right. So folks, make sure that you're part of ProvisInstitute.com, their Patreon meetings, his Patreon meetings. I'm telling you what, really good stuff. One-on-one conversation, a lot of good information passed during those meetings. So you've
We never talk about anything I talk about on the air with Doug or right. John Diamond or anybody else. We talk about things different than that.
Oh, yeah. You've done John Diamond, right?
Yes, John Diamond, yeah.
Okay, good. And folks, if you haven't heard Richard with Dr. John Diamond, please do so. You can find the archives out there.
Yeah, I'm on not every Thursday, but regularly on Thursday morning.
Right.
Right, 9 o'clock Eastern on the John Diamond Show. Yeah.
John's a very, very good guy.
Yes.
Extremely good. All right, we got about 2 minutes left. I can't believe how quickly we start talking and everything just goes really quick.
I have a good time, Doug. I have a good time in life.
I tell you what, you know, life's too short not to have a good time, right? To be miserable all the time.
Yes. Yeah, so, it doesn't help. Doesn't help to be miserable. The other guys don't care and it just hurts you. Best to be happy and go lucky and do stuff. Do stuff you like.
And maybe that's the good close in the minute and a half that we have left. Do stuff that you like because, you know, again, I watched my dad work at a factory, and it's not that he disliked his job, but he was really a slave to his job, okay? And it wore him down. Whereas people I've watched who are really uber successful, like you, you know, you put your heart and soul into an idea, and folks today, despite all the gunk out there, you know what? You can be successful. You can do whatever you want to do if you set your mind to it and you're obedient to God.
You know, Doug, there's another piece here. Another piece. I sell the books for $25 each because that's what it really takes to get everything done. but I want the people to have them. I don't try to chip or cheat or rob anybody. I give away lots of stuff.
And with that, we got to go. Richard Proctor, ProvisInstitute.com. Bookmark that website and see you next week, Richard. Thank you very much. Good night. God bless. Yeah. All right.